All right, this is a special edition of the One Board Podcast. We're recording live in a very odd Airbnb in Columbus, Ohio, at Origins Game Fair 2018. I'm here with a woman wearing a blood blanket.
Aaron Gutowski.
And the person who gave his blood blanket to her.
Who gave blood for the blanket.
And now I'm borrowing it.
And now she's borrowing it. This is Rick White. Hi, guys. Hello, everyone. And Ryan, you had mentioned as we were walking back to the car that you were going to get an Origins theme song, podcast theme song, because we don't have access to our normal theme song. So I think I need to hear a theme song for today.
Let's hear it.
Theme song. It's Origins. We're at Origins. It's going to be so good. Seeing all the games and meeting people. Origins. Bum, 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 bum.
That was free verse.
That was like so attractive.
Yeah, it's I think we should have a different one every day. That's what we'll do.
I'll just keep
Aaron's up next
those.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. So, we'll see.
So the reason why we're doing this is we wanted to kind of share our thoughts from the first full day of Origins Conference, where the exhibitors was open, the exhibitor hall was open, getting to see new games, grabbing games as we could.
A little stressful there.
But wanted to get everybody's first impressions with this being their very first time at Origins, and what we thought and what was the best stuff that we saw. So first impressions, Aaron.
I think first impressions would be, honestly, it was a little overwhelming because there was so much everywhere.
Yeah.
And you want to take it all in and see everything, and there's just so much going on. I think that was honestly my first impression. But, you know, you and I got here earlier, yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was a little less chaotic, and so I think that helped us to kind of get acclimated to what was going on.
Yeah, it honestly, when the exhibitor hall opened at 10 a.m., it felt like Black Friday.
Yes.
Rush of people, everybody's running to try to get
specific
games.
And we got
in
line.
Oh, yeah.
And we were one of the first people in line.
Oh, you two were standing at the door like you were ready to run the race.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense.
We are on the front of many Facebook live videos, I'm sure. Yeah.
They were filming, and I was on one end, and Ryan was on the other in the very front.
Yeah. Very entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was a purpose behind it, because what happens is when the exhibitor, some publishing companies only have a specific allotment of games that are available for Origins. So a good example would be the Deepwater Games booth had a game that I really, really wanted called Welcome To, and it's a roll and write that uses cards, and I really wanted that game, like real bad. And they only have 25 per day
that they're giving
out. Yeah.
And lots of people really want that game.
Yeah.
And so we kind of split up. Ryan and Rick went in one direction to get some games, and I went in the other direction to get Welcome To. And it was a little stressful because even though you look at the map to kind of see where it is, there are hundreds of exhibits up. And so to try to weed your way through and find what you want to find is really hard. So anyway, I'm hauling it back there. I'm looking everywhere for this thing. I'm even asking other exhibitors, do you know where Deepwater Games is? And nobody knew. And so finally, I'm getting stressed out because I know Ryan really wants it. Finally, I see the booth. The line is wrapped around. And as I'm walking around, I'm like, this sucks. I'm sure they heard me, but I was like, just thinking that we would not get it.
Yeah.
And I got to the back of the line anyway. The lady was handing out tickets. And she handed me the last ticket. Yeah. And then she gave me a sign that said end of the line and made me hold it. So I had to tell everybody else they couldn't get one.
There's nothing more humiliating than
that. That's right. That was also my favorite part of the day because I was able to get it for you.
Yeah, that was super cool. I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, showing up, the fear of missing out is something, you know, that has become a popular phrase, and I think that really hit me at Origins as we were walking up and down the aisles. You see so many games that you want to try out, and it's really hard to remember that this is going to happen for a few more days.
Yeah.
Like, the same stuff that was out there will be there tomorrow, it'll be there the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know right at the beginning when we first got there, we bought the games that we were trying to get. Mm-hmm. I remembered I needed to get one more, and I had to come see you. And it's a pretty big room.
Yeah.
So, like, to go from where I was to go try to find that game, to go get, I had to borrow some cash from you because I didn't have enough cash and that's all they were taking, and then go back over there, like, and walking past all those games and like, I want to try that, I want to try that, I want to try that. It was really frustrating, and I had to keep reminding myself, like, it's okay, like, we'll have plenty of time to play some of these and to check everything out. It's different than, like, you know, I've gone to educational fairs and stuff like that, where the stuff that they have to show you takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But these are board games, and they're going to take you, I mean, you're probably going to sit down and play some of them. Right. So it takes a lot longer than those, but I started off, you know, maybe kind of got to detox a little bit because I went and gave blood at the beginning of the day while you guys tested your first game, and went and did a survey thing. So I had about an hour and a half at the very beginning of the day, when it was, I think, the craziest, where I was out of the room and not in the madness. But I did, you know, eventually things got better, and I think, you know, I was able to kind of check out the stuff. And I kind of liked your strategy where, I mean, there's, 11 different rows, you know, going through there and just walking up one and down the other and, you know, just taking your time, seeing what it is you want to maybe try right then or try later. And I think that was a good strategy.
I only came to that point because I had the same issue as you. So I wanted to stop by the Keymaster Games booth because they are people that we greatly respect. Kyle and Maddox are guys that we've interacted with on the podcast, and they're people that we really enjoy the games that Keymaster makes. So one of my things was go to Keymaster, go say hey, because we've never met in person actually. Let's talk for a minute. And then as soon as I get over to the Keymaster booth, I'm waiting behind somebody who's looking at a game. I look behind me and there's a board game that I've been wanting for 6 months on sale. And I'm like, Aaron, oh, that's on sale. Oh, grab that. Ooh, here's some cash.
Yeah.
And then I look to the side and there's another booth that I want to visit. And I'm like, oh, they have this game. Oh, no. Oh. And then at that time, I was thinking about the fact that I wanted to go look at another game and see another demo. And you looked at me. You were like, you are all over the place.
Yeah, I wanted to put that into context for people because normally Ryan is very laid back. Am I not loud enough?
No, you're good.
Normally, Ryan's just very laid back and just focused and doesn't really get hyped up about anything or seem overwhelmed. Like, he hardly ever gets to that point. But today, I saw it for one of the first times. Like, there were, like, fireworks going off on his brain. And he was like, look at that. Like, I want to see that. I want to see that. And that's what I mean. It was kind of overwhelming because there was so much that you want to see and do.
And it hit me after that interaction and after we sat down and looked at Chimera Station over at TMG, the Tasty Mitchell booth. After that, I was like, I need to go row by row.
Yeah.
I need to look at things and I need to stop. And if I miss something, I miss it. Whatever.
Right.
But at least I tried.
Right.
And I think that's when it hit me. I've got to have a strategy. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, if I'm thinking about what was my favorite part of today, I do believe, you know, once we slowed down and started to get to play some games, that was really fun. I definitely think my favorite part of the day was our last game that we got to play. We got to play a game that we're going to be able to talk about a little bit more later. Not talking, you know, can't say too much about it quite yet, but it was really fun that we got to play with a bunch of folks that do podcasts and things like that and get to have a good time. You know, a lot of times playing board games with strangers, it's all very quiet.
Yep.
You every now and then have some folks that, you know, maybe don't have the greatest social skills in the world, but I felt like I got to be silly and I got to have a good time. And, you know, that was really enjoyable for me, our last game, getting to play with some folks that also do podcasts.
Shout out to the Punchboard Media people that came through and just played this game with us. That we'll be talking about later on in the summer. But Punchboard Media, some of you guys may or may not know. You may have heard the tag at the end of our podcast that we put on there over the past season. It happened probably around the beginning or middle of, about 3 or 4 episodes into season 2, somewhere around March. We were added as a content contributor to Punchboard Media. And so we've been, you know, working with them, getting to know them better. And they're just, it's great to have other people, like as we were leaving this event, they two or three people were like, hey, you guys are so-and-so, we are so-and-so, awesome. And so we got to talk, and we were excited about getting to play some games tomorrow on Friday. We're gonna sit down and get to play some games and do some party games and stuff with them. So it's really exciting. Like, it's cool to be in a group of people who care about the hobby, care about each other, and are wanting to better relationships. Like, that was super cool.
Yes, so. Definitely. Definitely.
So, Ryan and Aaron, what would you say was your favorite game from today? We had a lot.
a lot, yeah.
But, what would be your favorite?
I really like Chimera Station. We went to the Taste Your Minstrel Games booth. I really like the worker placement aspect of Chimera Station. That is a game that was on Kickstarter. The worker placement, like how that works and how you build your creatures, is really, really fun. I like that a lot. It's heavier than it looks. It has these little toy pieces, little toy aliens that you're building and snapping together. Mm-hmm. It looks like a kid's game. It looks like something an 8-year-old would play. But the mechanics of it, no way. No chance. Right. You're looking at 12, 14 years old as probably the low end of the scale.
Yeah.
I feel like our 10-year-old could get it, but it's only because she's gamed a lot.
Right.
But I think that I also struggle with the price point, because the price point for this game is very expensive.
Do you remember what it was?
It was $80 for the deluxe version.
That's right.
Which has metal coins. That is a premium right. game, but it also is priced outside of anything that we would purchase.
That a family could afford, and it's a family game with older kids.
Yeah, yeah. But
you definitely could play it just with adults, and it's great. Yeah.
And the regular version is lower cost, maybe $50, $60, I think.
Right.
But still, that's very high cost for what the game is.
Right.
But it was probably my favorite game, because I picked up on the mechanics really quickly, and really enjoyed the way that the theme was eating, and when you snap together like plant-based body parts, your creature feeds itself.
It
doesn't need
combos.
Additional food.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So Chimera Station would probably be my favorite game that I played just today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I really liked Senshi by Arcane Wonders.
That was super cool.
Yeah. It's by the same people who make Onitama, which we also really like. Onitama is an awesome two-player game that we've had for a while.
Yeah, and they had giant Onitama out there, too. Yeah, that was really cool.
I think people were just kind of walking around it and afraid to touch it or play with it, but I think you could,
This looks like a sculpture. I don't know what to do.
But the guy who showed us how to play was super engaging, and it's a fast, interactive game, and you just kind of jump right into it. But I think, to me, it was kind of confusing the way the card was laid out with the actions you could take right above the little circles to place your tiles. And so it took... I think Rick got it right away, but it took me and Ryan a second to quit confusing it. But it's fast, it's interactive, it's not that hard to learn at all, but it's definitely one that I'm probably going to pick up tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a definite buy for us. Aaron really
connected
with the game.
It's only $20. Yeah.
It's $20. It's not released yet. Senshi from Arcane Wonders. And what I liked about it is it's an abstract game that reminds me of something like Deep Sea Adventure, because there's no board to it, so you can kind of set it up in any configuration you want.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. If you have a small amount of space, as long as you have some sort of flat surface, you can play the game.
What was the player count on that? Do you remember?
I thought it was only 4.
Yeah.
Really?
I think.
Okay.
So Rick, the fact checker, is going to check it out. So
2 to 4.
Two to four. Okay. But it was a great game, and you're exactly right with the graphic design. I think publishers need to realize, when you put something very close to a set of words, you have basically locked it in to mean this goes
because
with this.
It was very row and column, the card was.
It was aligned right on top of each other.
Yeah, I think they could have done a better job, but, I like
that. Once you figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and we might not have... They have great people all around. Sure. It might not have been the best person, because we had you and I were... There were a couple times where it's like, wait, you can take the tiles from where? Like, towards the end, when we were like, we can take them from other people? Like, I didn't even know that, so...
Yeah. Oh, that's right, we didn't.
Like, with a turn left.
Right, like, right. So, by the way.
No, that one was a good one. I like that one. Yeah. I think my favorite from the day was Caper. Mm-hmm. That one from, why am I forgetting? Keymaster Games. I'm forgetting names.
Yeah, Keymaster.
We just talked about them. But such it was, stuff. It the art is amazing.
Yes.
It's phenomenal.
And Josh Emmerich was the artist.
Yeah, so. And one thing we kind of noticed was just the color on it.
Like, oh, it was beautiful.
Like, the back of the cards have this pink and the green, like, they look like samples that you'd pass around for your house to be painted in or something like that.
They weren't
really well done.
They weren't pastels, but they were a lighter, almost shimmery color. Yeah. They were beautiful.
Like metallic pastels. Yeah. It was weird. Yeah.
It scares me. We ended up picking a copy of the game up because, you know, Rick and I did video work for it, and Rick and Aaron played while I did some video work for our YouTube channel. But I'm scared to play with the cards because they look so nice.
The right. art
and then I'm scared to sleeve gorgeous. It because then they're going to look dull if I sleeve it. Right. So it's like, do I just wear gloves all the time?
Yeah,
like,
I think how you do I do this with gloves on? I think that's definitely what you should do. It's, you know, Sarah and I do a lot of gaming together. It's a two-player game. Mm-hmm. It was somewhat difficult to pick up at first. Mm-hmm. And I think it took me... Even... I definitely need to play that two or three more times
too.
To really know what I'm doing, to have a good strategy and stuff. Because even though I kind of had, like, miniature plans, you know, as the game went on, I think it would be better a couple more times. Mm-hmm. It's a game where... Like, I think my brain was thinking there was going to be more cards placed down and, like, I was going to have more stuff I needed to do. It happens quicker than you think it's going to. And so it's got a lot of iconography that's hard to pick up on. But once you get it, you get it.
Yeah.
Like, you eventually get there. It's so I think steep learning curve, but... You know, Maddox did a great job explaining to us, and so I think we eventually picked up on it, and I would love, like, I know Ryan picked up a copy, and so usually we don't get too many copies of the same game, but it's one that I'm very, very tempted to head back over there and pick up.
I feel like if you have enough money at the end of this conference, I feel like it's worth picking up.
Because
it's going to be a staple two-player game.
Yeah.
Kind of like Onitama is, and Santorini is. Like, anytime we think two-player games... Santorini and Onitama come out.
Right.
This is now something added to it that, like, we're playing two players, let's grab Caper. Because this is the go-to.
I still, even at the end, I was only just starting to get it, and I know it still didn't click with me. Like, I didn't get it yet. I'm going to have to play it a couple more times. But I feel like once I get it, I'm going to absolutely love it. And then the scoring at the end, there were, like, it almost seemed like three different rounds of scoring. Like, you score these, and then you score these, and then you score this.
Yeah, it kind of had that, like, Seven Wonders almost feel, where you have to, you know, score this particular types of points and these particular types of points. Yeah, and so, but yeah, it's got some really cool mechanics. You know, there are some things in there that's got some nice take that stuff that's, you know, it's not too, like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's got a good balance to where most of what you're doing is impacting yourself, but then there's some ways in which you get to interact with people. So it's a good game. I like it. So those are just a few. And that's just a few of them.
Yeah.
We played a lot. Like,
yeah.
And
we played a lot.
Yes.
We played a lot, and we bought even more.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of games to be playing.
I wish
not
everyone
just now,
could
but over
see
the next few days.
The bag of games that Rick bought. Every time we saw him, he was coming back with more
games. ILO had too good of a sale, and there was a lot of games that they were discontinuing that they were selling at 70 to 80% off.
And I was like,
if I walk away from this, I'm going to dislike myself. So now I won't dislike myself, but Sarah will dislike me. It'll be fine. We'll figure something out.
I'm glad that she's going to hear this on the podcast before she sees you next.
Yeah, that implies that Sarah listens to us. That's
true.
We all know no one listens to
us. That's true. What about your favorite interactions? I think I've got to throw this out there because this is my absolute favorite interaction from Origins so far. Like, we've gotten to meet some really amazing people. Some of the people that I've only met online, Mark Spector and James Hudson, and, like, all these people that I know from online that we've been talking to each other for years or whatever, and then finally meeting them face to face. the people at Punchboard Media, Eric and Patrick and Sean, all these people. So cool to meet them in person. But then you look at it, it's like the interaction that I think is going to stick with me for a long time is going up to the Red Raven booth. Ryan Lockett of Red Raven Games is somebody that I have a lot of respect for. His artistic creativity, his game creation, the things that Red Raven puts out are just right in my wheelhouse, things that I love. Okay, Above and Below, one of my top five games of all times. Okay, walked up, said, "Hey, Ryan, really love your work, man. We're super excited about Megaland, which is a game that comes out to Target. It's a Target exclusive game that is coming out in the fall." And I said, "We are so excited about seeing Megaland, and just can you show us a little about the game?" And he reaches up under the table, pops out a boxed retail copy of Megaland, hands it to me, and says, "Take this with you." And then he walks over to the table to show me the components of the open one, and I'm standing there holding it. I'm like,
"Well, the thing is, he didn't say take this with you. He just handed it to you. Do you remember?"
Yeah, and I was just blown away. I looked at him, and immediately what I felt like was, is it inappropriate to hug a person that is in a booth that you've never met?
Is this going to be weird? So, I can make it weird.
I can make it real weird, son. But no, I mean, that interaction with Ryan Lockett was very, very, very cool. And I think that sometimes I struggle with what One Board Family is. If you look at, we've only been doing this we're celebrating 2 years in 10 days. Mm-hmm. In 10 days, we're celebrating 2 years as a website. This is a huge dream for Aaron and I and our family. And Rick, you came in shortly after we started. And so to get an opportunity to review a game that's going to be a big box store game at Target, something that I know our family's going to really dig and have fun with.
Oh, yeah.
To get these opportunities, I don't want to ever forget about what the fact that we have these opportunities. This is big. And, mm-hmm. and I think it reminded me of the fact that as big as this industry is and as small as One Board Family is, I am grateful for every single opportunity we get mm-hmm. to review a game.
Yep.
So.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think I had a couple of those myself, and you know, I always appreciate game designers that are willing to help us out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope we can return the favor in whatever way we can. You know, if we can drum up a sale or two for them, I hope so, especially when they've got great games out there.
Yeah.
One interaction that I had was over at the Jelly Bean Games table. I talked to Shayna Cook, who was helping their booth out. Doesn't work with them, but is kind of working with the company that is working with them. She and I started to get to talking, and, you know, it got around games, but got to be talking about real life. Like, we talked about how I'm a teacher. She talked about how she's working for game accessibility mm-hmm. and things like that. And I talked to her about some projects we do at our school with developing games for people with disabilities of different sorts. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a really cool conversation to be able to have a normal chat with somebody. And it got interrupted a little bit because she actually had to do her job and some people came over and wanted to learn about the game. But, you know, remembering, you know, having these personal connections to people and not just talk about board games.
Yeah.
Understanding that, you know, we're able to have, very few of us out there, this is all we do. Almost everybody is doing something else, and you know, there's some cool people out there and getting to know them and share stories, and you know, who knows, like, you know, maybe she is able to connect with us on stuff that I do at my job and stuff like that. That's always really cool. So I very much enjoyed that interaction, and there's a couple more people that I want to get out to talk to. You know, I love, you know, these big game designers and people that we've heard of and mm-hmm. things that we know, but I also love, you know, getting the chance to talk with people that maybe you're launching their first game thinking about, I feel sometimes like we're in the same boat. We're mm-hmm. trying to, you know, boost up, you know, One Board Family and let people know about some of the good work we're doing. And they're trying to let people know about the great games that they're designing. So it's always great to have those talks and those interactions with people and try to figure out some stuff to get going. I'm excited about tomorrow and Saturday.
That's the thing. Like, we're coming to the end of one day. We're coming to the end of 2 days.
Right.
But we still have 2 days.
Yeah, right. It kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. We barely... I don't think I touched more than a quarter of what was in that...
Right.
In that convention center. Like, oh, yeah. There's so much more to play. Like, you know, we all drifted out towards the Czech games, you know, towards Czech games edition towards the end of the day. And you guys played some Codenames Duet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played a game I can't pronounce.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff. There are so many games out there that we haven't tried that are not just the new ones and things like that. So I'm excited to try out some stuff. We put out some stuff on Facebook. We did a Facebook Live. We're going to be
By the way, Blue Orange Games reposted your video where you're dancing. And so Blue Orange Games, you can look at Blue Orange Games' Facebook page. They reposted one of our videos. We did a live play of a game called Pool Party, which is a dexterity game where you're launching these plastic people into this pool that is very, very shaky and wobbly. And
it is not safe for children.
Is that still... has that been... released?
I think so. I can look it up, but it looked like a full retail release. It looked like something that you're going to see in Target and Walmart and things like that.
It was fun. There was really no learning curve on it all. It was fun. It's all you had to do is flick the pieces. Party game. The only issue that I had with it was some of my pieces were more flat, like they weren't as sturdy, and I couldn't get them to flick at all.
They're a little busted up, mine too.
Yeah. But maybe that's because so many people were playing
around
with it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's getting a lot more use than a normal family.
But I could see our kids really liking it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a nice little diversion. But yeah.
What was, Aaron, what was one of your favorite interactions today?
Well, really, I've already talked about this to you guys, but my favorite interaction was yesterday at the Dice Tower booth when we went up and spoke with Suzanne. She and Mandy are on the podcast with Tom Vassell. Yeah. So anyway, it was really cool to meet her, but it's one of those things where when somebody takes the time for you and really is engaged with you in conversation. I don't know. It's just like with Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like he was a genuine guy and he really wanted to talk. And that was just a great interaction. But anyway, Suzanne had a lot of awesome things to say about Punchboard Media and the folks that are with Punchboard Media. So it was just a really great interaction. And I saw her treating other people that way too.
Yeah.
Just really engaging with them. And I don't know. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That'll be all for this special edition of the One Board Podcast. Once again, we are talking about Origins 2018, and this is just kind of a rundown of what happened on Thursday, June 14th. So this has been a lot of fun. I don't know if we'll do this tomorrow at the end of the day. We have kind of a late night. We're going to be going to a Punchboard Media meetup. So if you are actually at Origins, be sure to check us out in the Unpub room in the convention center. You can join us at, I think, starting at 9:30, play some games. I think they have some giveaways. It's going to be a lot of fun. We would love to meet some people. So if you're going to be around, come visit, come hang out.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you're not in Columbus, if you're viewing Origins through our lens or through the lenses of other people, YouTube, we're actually going to post videos to our YouTube channel. I know it's crazy.
Woo-hoo.
Instagram's going to have stuff. Facebook's got stuff. Yeah. We're trying to get out as much as we can about the stuff that we're seeing, the amazing things. And it's not just this weekend, guys.
Yeah.
We have so many games that we're going to be letting you know about that we've picked up. Like, it's ridiculous.
We have
a legit
box of games behind us
that
we picked up just today.
Yeah.
So,
it's crazy. And I've got a big, almost as big of a stack in my room.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. But thank you guys for listening. We hope that you stick around and let us know if there's any games that we haven't talked about that we should go check out. We will totally do that.
Yeah.
Yes. But until next time, guys, we will see you at the table.